just to remember a heartache here is but a stepping stone along a trail that's winding always upwards. This troubled world is not my final home, but until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home, the things of earth will dim and lose their value if we recall their borrowed for a while, and things of earth that cause the heart to tremble. Remembered there will only bring a smile, but until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home, this weary world with all its toil and struggle may take its toll of misery and strife. The soul of man is like a waiting falcon. When it's released, it's destined for the skies. But until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold the city. Until the day God calls me home.
Your word, I pray, Lord, that you just help me and just be with me as I preach your message. I don't deserve this, but you've allowed me to be a part of this, so I'm thankful for that. I pray, Lord, that you just this church and be with this church, the pastor and these great people that he gets to minister to. I pray, Lord, now that you just continue to bless and bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at this passage, we can and we think about decisions and making changes. We can make a lot of changes that don't have anything to do with the things of God, if we think about it. So when I say I want to emphasize what I'm saying, is our decision a matter of changing for the things of God or forgetting about the things of God? There needs to be a change. And when we make a change, it should be about the things of God. Or again, whenever if there's a change in somebody's life or any kind of change, I'm talking just in kind of, that you can change something that has nothing to do with the things of God. So just kind of keep that in mind. But as we look into 2 Chronicles here, we see Asa, a king that has come on the scene, and he is actually the third king of Judah at this time. He's the third king of Judah. If you look at the first king, we see the first king was Rehoboam. He was the king that split the kingdom. You think about his father was Solomon, King Solomon, and that he we see when he comes on the scene, Rehoboam, King Rehoboam, that he listens to ungodly counsel versus godly counsel, which never works out well. You know, you think about listening to ungodly friends or whatever, compared to godly people that served in some kind of capacity in the ministry that know the word of God. So he goes and he listens to this ungodly council. And what happens? The kingdom splits and there's a civil war in the kingdom. So we see that in the first king. And then we get into the second king was Abijah. That this is Asa's father. He reigned for about 3 years and did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. You see here, if you don't have to turn there, but 1 Kings chapter 15 says, and he walked in all the sins of his father, which he had done before him, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. So we see that there's been two kings now at this point that have just performed some kind of wickedness and sinful acts in the sight of the Lord. Now we see we get to Asa. We see King Asa, and what we've just read here is that it looks like he's doing some good things for the Lord, some good things. So we think about him just walking with the Lord and doing some things. But a man that, you know, think about King Asa, that this was a man that was raised in a wicked home. Abijah was his father, a man that you would not think that would actually walk with the Lord and have a relationship with God, according to statistics and different people's maybe his opinions, that he would be a product of his culture, which was ungodliness at the time, that the nation was living in ungodliness and what we would call apostasy, that they would that they knew God, maybe they knew the word. I mean, they knew what happened in the history and what God has done, but rejected to live for him. Apostasy, to reject the Lord. A man statistically. Again, statistically, that maybe was influenced by his dad, that maybe influenced by the nation. But we think about that, and if we compare Asa to our life, that God can use anybody. God can change anyone. Remember, Asa came from an ungodly life. And the Lord just did some great things. I mean, we don't know exactly his testimony. The Bible doesn't give us that. But did some great things for God. According to the scriptures, did some bad things for God, too. We're going to look at here in a second. But he made a decision. He made a decision that he is going to live for God. At this point in time, we're looking at it, that he is going to live for God and that he's going to take away the wickedness, take away everything. And again, it doesn't matter what happened in your past, in your life, that's maybe happening now, that God can still use you and change you for his honor and glory. So we look at here in 2 Chronicles, and Asa makes a decision. He makes a decision, and we think about decisions. Decision making is important. Would you agree that we make a decision for our eternity? That we decide, we believe by faith, and trust Jesus Christ in our personal Lord and say we made a decision to accept Him and believe in Him by faith. There's decisions in life that we make on a daily basis. But Asa here made a decision in chapter 14. Verse 2 through 5, is a decision of boldness. But let's look at that real quick. Chapter 14, verses 2 through 5. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, for he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves and commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. Also, he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. So when we see this, we see that Asa made a decision, a boldness decision to change, a boldness decision to change. And when we think about this, that when Asa gets on the scene, he makes a decision, again, of boldness. I can kind of maybe paraphrase this or something, how maybe we can kind of relate this to our lifestyle, that he walked in maybe his home and said, listen, we're not going to watch this ungodly TV show, or we're not going to talk in an ungodly way. We're going to remove some of those things from our home, because what's separating our relationship with God is the sin. I mean, if there's anything that we need to remove from our homes, it's the sinful habits and the sinful things that are creeping in our homes, that are creeping into maybe commercials or our phones or in our minds. So again, if we're not careful, that sin can take over our homes. Yes. And that he walked in his workplace. You know, I'm relating this into his workplace. And said that, hey, I appreciate it if you not disrespect my God like this. And again, we have to do it in love and in grace and in mercy. We have a testimony to hold. But he was boldness with his God. Whenever it came to the Lord, his God, that he acted in a boldly manner. And if there's anything that Christians, that Baptist churches need, it's people to be bold for Jesus Christ. Again, we're not going and curse people out. We don't want to do that. And we don't want to get in somebody's face or fight or anything like that. But there's some type of boldness that needs to take place instead of people just running all over us and doing whatever they want. There needs to be some boldness in our society today. He removed all idolatry. You know, he didn't use his authority. I found this really interesting. Asa didn't use his authority to lift himself up. Whenever he was king, he used his authority for Jesus Christ, for God. He removed everything from the nation that pertained ungodliness to God. He said, "We're not going to have any of this. We're not doing this anymore. The Lord's name is going to be lifted up, not my name, but I'm going to lift the Lord's name up since I have that authority." And if we think about it in our lives, that we have an influence to somebody's life. We have maybe not authority. I mean, a lot of us might be parents here, so we can have that and use that, maybe that authority to lift up God's name. But we take our authority to another sometimes. We take our authority to maybe lift up ourselves in pride or whatnot. But what about if we take that authority, that influence that we have in someone else's life? I believe that we have at least one person that we have influence on, somebody that looks up to us or some kind of family member, that we can take that and we can make it an influence in their lives for God. You know, we struggle with trying to be having the spotlight. We do. But give God the spotlight. I mean, wouldn't that be? I mean, this is what Asa did. He gave God the spotlight. He said, "We're not going to have any of this anymore. This has been 20 years. It's been 20 years since this idolatry has creeped up. Maybe even longer. Since Solomon had even idolatry at the end of his reign. We're not going to have this anymore. We're removing all of this. We're going to be bold for God." You think about boldness. Listen to the result of boldness. Be willing to risk shame or rejection. To be willing to risk shame or rejection in social situations. Bold people speak up. And listen to this. Bold people are not necessarily loud or boisterous. But when they have something to say, they say it. More important, they understand when and how to say it. They're not just loud and... But they know how to say it and when to say it, you know, at specific times. And this is what Asa did. This is what Asa did. He was bold whenever it was time to be bold. But what happens for us is that when it's time to make a decision, when it's time to make decision making, we make decisions on what other people else thinks. That we make decisions sometimes like, "Man, I wonder what so-and-so is going to think." Well, what would God think? Is maybe our decision-making should be, our mentality. That I'm not going to make the decision, a bold decision, on assuming, and then we assume on what other people think. I'm not going to, we shouldn't make that decision. "Hey, what is such and such?" Well, it doesn't really, you know, sometimes, maybe what God's word says. What does God say about this? Not what so-and-so thinks about down the road, none of that. Hey, what does God think? What does God say in his word on my decision making, on what I'm about to make a decision? You know, this city Sebring needs people. It desperately needs people of about 10,000 people to make decisions to glorify and honor Jesus Christ, to honor God, to stand up for what God says. Paul says in Ephesians, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Asa was passionate about this decision. He was so passionate. Listen to this. He was so passionate. He changed his mother's position of authority. Look at chapter 15, verse 16. Chapter 15, verse 16. "And also concerning Micah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove." How tough you think that could have been? You don't think there was some people maybe mad at Asa? I mean, this has been over 20 something years that there's been idolatry in the land. And then Asa comes and says, no, we're not having that. We're not having none of that. Burn it all. Destroy it all. And also, Mom, I cannot have you as position either because of your idolatry worship. You don't think he had some people mad at him? I don't think he was the most liked person at that time right there. I really don't. And this is what we have to understand, that there can be some tough decisions to glorify and honor God. And then also I was thinking this, that the people that you love the most might not be behind you in your passion about living for the Lord. There might be some people, some people that you actually love, some own family, that disagree with what you're doing. Because I can relate to that, that whenever I was moving from Louisiana to Florida, my family, not all of my family was behind me. You know, I remember my dad had a used tire shop, and he had a patio, and then we were standing under there, and he was saying, you know, you probably won't make it. You know, I'm sure you won't make it. Him and my brother were actually joking around, like, how long do you think it's gonna be till he comes back home? You know, I gave him a month. Remember that? 3 months. And you know, by the help of the Lord, I'm still here, and I praise the Lord for that. So your family might not be behind you whenever you decide to serve. You know, you make a decision to serve the Lord. Your friends, some close friends, you might lose some friends. You know, you will. I'm just be honest. There's some friends that you probably will lose whenever you're serving the Lord and you say, hey, I'm going to be, you know, full time ministry or, you know, whatever it is. You say, I'm going to serve the Lord full time. There might be some things that you'll lose, some sacrifices that you'll have to make for God. And this is what Asa's doing. He has sacrificed, and he's probably not liked at this time. So, but he had made the decision to serve God. He has. And then also he made a decision to pursue. He made a decision to pursue. Chapter 15, verse 12. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. To seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. These people, Asa leading his people at this point, they have a desire to serve God. They had a desire to serve God, starting with Asa. And as he led by example, the nation of Judah, it seems like, had a desire to serve God. You know, I believe that Christian families and that, you know, the reason why Christian homes are going on a decline is because we don't have godly leaders in the home. I'm talking about men. I'm talking about that because of the Christian home is constantly at a decline. There's even divorce and violence and different things in the Christian home. Is I believe as what I've did my kind of research on my thesis is that we don't have men praying with their families. We don't have men communicating with their wives. We don't have men praying with their wives. We don't have men having a right relationship with God. We don't have men reading their Bibles on a daily basis. We don't have godly leaders in the Christian home. That's what we need. We need more godly leaders, true godly leaders that wake up in the morning and read their Bibles. I want to say there was a men's breakfast or something that I read on here. You know, establishing godly leaders. I appreciate that. That's a true blessing here. Let me encourage you. Be a part of that. Be a part of that. You know, it'll be a blessing. It really is to be around a good, just good godly men. You know, it's a blessing. It really is to pursue. We need Christians. We need people to hunger and have a desire and thirst for the Word of God, a hunger and a thirst for God and for the things of God and for even for the people of God to just be a part of what God is doing. You know, just be a part of it, to pursue, just to go after what he's doing. Listen to what God told Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14. We might be able to quote the verse. Is if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then after that, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Matthew 5:6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. For they shall be filled. Again, making the decision to serve God, to go after God, to do what's right. to do what's right. Again, there's people going to hell. You know, are we going after those people saying, hey, I lived a life. I've done what you've done. It doesn't give you hope. There's not no hope in that. There's no peace in that. You know, we don't have to be the most smartest people to do those things. You know, God doesn't use the most talented people all the time. He'll use the broken. He used me. I was nothing. I'm being honest. I was nothing, really. And just how God has, where God has brought me from. I was shy. I didn't really know how to talk. I still kind of don't know how to talk a little bit. I still kind of fumble and bumble up here. And I was like, I'm not getting up there and preaching. I'm not getting up there and telling people, you know, about God. I can barely hold the conversation. And God has used me in a great way. He really has. After so many years, I praise the Lord for that. And where I've came from, if God can use me, listen to me, church. If God can use me, He can use anybody. I promise you. I take it to the bank. I promise you that He can use. If He can use me, He can use anybody. He can use any. He doesn't want to use the most smartest people in the world. He doesn't want to use doctors. He'll use them, but he don't want to use doctors and law. He wants to take the broken and say, this is where God has brought me from. And this is what he's doing now. And he can do the same thing with everyone here. He can. He really can. So we see Asa's decision to make a change. And it's a decision of boldness to pursue. And then we look at Asa's forgetfulness. Chapter 16, verse 7. And at the time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa, which when we look at this word seer here, it's like a prophet, okay? It's the man of God, a prophet, a seer, okay? And at the time, Hananiah the seer, a prophet, you can say, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst not rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thy hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou that hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in prison, in a prison house, for he was enraged with him because of the thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people the same time. So his forgetfulness, and this is a very sad ending, really, is how Asa at one point came in and made a boldness to change. We just read it. Came in, destroyed all idolatry. Said, hey, we're going to serve God whether you like it. I'm king. We're going to serve the Lord. Not going to serve me. We're going to serve God. And then we see him. God had to send a prophet, a seer, to Asa to remind him, hey, you're not relying on God. And Asa puts him in jail because of his forgetfulness. Understand that forgetfulness can be sinful. That it, when we forget about how the things of God and how we've put things in front of God and how we actually rely on different things than God, that can be sinful. That's sin. We put other things in front of God because we forgot how good God was. So we think about how forgetfulness can be a sin. This is Asa. He slowly forgot God over the years. He slowly forgot God. Listen to that. He was reminded about his forgetfulness in verse 7. He was reminded about his forgetfulness in verse 7. So again, this seer, which is another word for prophet, he is being used by God to remind Asa, hey, remember what God kept you from, what God has taken you from. You think of, I'm going to kind of give you the brief story here because I didn't read it. It's in chapter 14, there's this huge army coming after the nation. Huge army. It's being interpreted that it uses the word thousands, which can be complicated. But a lot of scholars say it was about a million people compared versus about 300,000 of Asa's army. So Asa, in chapter 14, Asa prays and begs God to help him. And what does God do? God acknowledges that prayer and Asa and his army have the victory over a million people, a million men. Okay, so that's in chapter 14. They have the victory. Chapter 15, seeing he destroys all the idolatry. That's what we read in chapter 15. He destroys all the idols in the nation. Chapter 16 is where we just read is Asa's been king for a long time. You know, Asa, there's some things that maybe Asa did, which was good. And people are recognizing that. Think about it in your own life that we've been saved for a long time. Did some great things for God. But slowly we have forgotten how good God is, what good God did. We can get in a repetitive state, even coming into church. Even I was thinking to myself, even preaching, it could be repetitive. God, there, I can be up here and God cannot be using me. It could be repetitive. I can get used to it. Don't have to have the power of God, but we have to remember. You know, we have to remember. We cannot forget. So this is what's going on in chapter 16, that Asa has forgotten God. He has not relied on God. We just read it. He told the other king to go handle his business. He said, you know what? I've been king for a long time. I'm very popular. People love me. Hey, go handle this. Go take care of this other nation that has a problem with me. What God does, he sends a preacher pretty much to him and says, you haven't relied on God. And Asa does something very, very interesting and actually sad. He puts the man of God in jail. You know, you think about that for a second, that a man like this, Asa, you know, instead of going to God and recognizing what God, even understanding what God has done, he puts the man of God in jail. We can all agree he has forgotten on what God has done. You know, we find ourselves in those situations sometimes that we can forget God. And again, forgetfulness is a sin. If you think about forgetfulness, that if we forget something, normally, again, there's mistakes happen. I forget all the time. But normally, if we forget about something, normally it's not a priority in our life. Normally. That if it's a priority, if something's a priority in life, if God's a priority in our life, we're not going to forget about him. We're not going to forget on to read our Bibles and to pray. We're going to make it a priority and set it in stone. Hey, I'm going to wake up in the morning every single day because I love God. And I'm thankful for what he's done for me, how he's saved me, first of all, from hell. And I'm sure we can all take a couple days to share our testimony on what God has done. And to recognize and to remember, not forget, that God has done some great things in our lives. Make it a priority. Make it a priority and not to forget. Again, we forget all the time. We really, I do. I forget all the time. But we have to make it a priority. Secondly, I'm hurrying here, is he was rebuked about his forgetfulness. He was rebuked. You know, every now and then, there needs to be maybe a little bit of rebuking towards us of what, again, we can get, it can be repetitive. It can be just another one, two, three step in our life to say, you know, I'm going to church and, you know, just, it can be repetitive. It could just be another thing, just a check off the list, you know. And this is what happens. And it's a sad story, but Asa forgets. And he also, he goes even beyond that. If we continue to read in bottom of chapter 16, that he even asks doctors for wisdom for his health condition. You know, you think about this, that it's a sad story. How sad would that be? If we start off good, get saved, serve in the ministry for 10 years, and then slowly get away from what God is doing, forgetting, and then we miss out on what God could have done, you know, because of forgetfulness. I believe that what happened too is that Asa got prideful. You know, he got prideful and said, look at me, you know, I'm the king. But if we could just get to where what God is doing and get to where God is asking us and say, I'm going to make a decision to change. Let's change some things for God. Let's make the decision not to forget. Not to forget that I'm going to make God a priority. Whether it's Bible reading, it's giving. You know, you think about giving. I look back here on these walls, and you have many of them. When you give, here, that you are actually providing and helping and supporting the gospel in so many different countries and places. And that's amazing to me. It really is. And I don't know how many, maybe countries and continents, maybe every, I'm not sure, maybe every continent in the world you might be supporting here. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. But we need to make it a priority to serve God, to love God. And again, make a change. Make a change here in Sebring, and make a change all in the world. So I want to ask you. I want to ask you this morning. Is your decision that you've been making, is it changing the things for God? Or is it forgetting? Have you forgotten? And when I use the word forgetfulness, that it's just going about your life and just going to work, you know, not telling anyone about Christ, letting people die and go to hell. Are we doing those things? Or are we saying, you know what? I'm going to make a change. I'm going to make an impact in Sebring, Florida for Jesus Christ. Let's all stand as we close in prayer.